here just because there's obviously a lot to talk about with another division game coming up on Sunday. Where are things standing from an injury standpoint? I think I thought that I heard you say something last night that maybe I didn't hear you say to Abe. How are they doing in the linebacking core and otherwise from an injury standpoint?
Yeah, you know, I think they'll be in better shape than they were on Thursday, where they were, you know, relying on a rookie in J.D. Bertrand to step in. And even then, early in that game, you saw them using a lot of what's called a penny front, which is basically using one linebacker, one middle linebacker, and Caden Ellis, and that wasn't working well. But Nate Landman has been, you know, he's not returned officially from IR, but he has been activated or on the return to play, essentially, which opens up the 21-day window where he has to come off of IR. And considering he comes off of that and is immediately limited in practice yesterday but isn't participating, I think that he is on track to play, and I think that they wouldn't have taken him off IR if he wasn't. So I don't think it's going to be one of those things where he has to practice for like 3 weeks before he's able to actually play in a game.
Good.
We'll see what he looks like on the practice report today, if he is able to increase that level. But even oftentimes, I think we see teams just kind of play coy with it. There's not really a reason to list him as a full participant unless they have to, just to kind of keep Carolina guessing. I think Nate Landman will play, which will help this defense a lot, because they're going to need it against a Carolina team that really relies on Chuba Hubbard to run the football, and it's something that the Falcons have not been good against in terms of stopping the run here these last few weeks.
Hey, outside of Nate Landman, has anybody else can you see getting back from this little mini bye that they had that probably didn't play last week, like a Troy Anderson? Is Bijan maybe a little bit healthier than he was going into that game?
Yeah, it seems like Bijan's still a little dinged up. He was limited again yesterday. Troy Anderson did not play or practice yesterday, I'm sorry. So he, to me, is a lot more doubtful than Nate Landman at this point. However, I've heard that it's more mostly, I hate to kind of use this phrase, but like it's a pain management issue essentially with Troy Anderson, where, you know, they're treating him day to day. That's kind of the way it's been phrased. I just hate to say pain management as if like, oh, it's just something he can play through. It's not necessarily that easy, guys. But I kind of have my doubts that he'll play. I don't think he's as necessary for the Falcons in this particular matchup. I think if they were going up against like a dynamic passing attack or a quarterback that was mobile, that where you'd really want to need him, maybe he would be more of an urgent guy to try to get back. But I think honestly, Nate Landman between the two linebackers is the better fit for what the Falcons defense needs in this game ahead. And then other than that, you know, they've got some guys who continue to be limited, but it's nothing major for these guys. I would expect most of the guys who were limited yesterday to play. I'm talking about guys like, you know, Bijan, who we mentioned, Caleb McGarry, those types of guys.
There's no question that what happened on the field against the Bucs from an offensive standpoint was different. Just looked better. Everything went better. They scored a ton of points. They won the game, all of that. Did you get the sense, talking to them this week and being around the team, do they feel like they think that they figured something out? Like, are they acting differently or talking differently about the way things are going offensively after that performance against Tampa?
I think absolutely, Andy. I think absolutely. There's a different kind of confidence that these guys have. In fact, when Abe called me to jump on this hit, we were in a scrum with Drake London, and you could kind of feel that confidence. And he said, you know, we got the passing game going. He's like, just wait till we get the running game going with it, and then people will really see how kind of explosive and I'm kind of paraphrasing him, but how much this Falcons offense is not really going to be able to be contained because of all the different players that they've got in all these different positions that can hit them kind of from every angle, including the offensive line, which gets overlooked a lot. But the fact that they were able to stand up in pass protection and protect so well for Kirk Cousins in that Bucs game where they really needed it, that was a huge question mark of this offensive line coming into this season, because they hadn't really done a lot of that under Arthur Smith. There was not a lot of that natural drop back game. It was so much play action and obviously running the ball. So I think it's been like a really bright spot all around from that Bucs game. And there are still some definite areas that this team has to shore up, both offensively and defensively. But I think just having that offensive explosion gives this whole locker room really a lot of confidence. And I think part of it's mainly down to the quarterback, obviously, that offensive success. And Kirk has talked about it, just kind of finding that anticipation and really having that moment where he's trusting his receivers and able to throw it to them before they're out of their breaks. That's the big difference in the Falcons offense on Thursday.
Hey, Joe, you think we'll see a lot more because of the run game that Carolina wants to put out there, a lot more Ruka Roro in there with the ones?
I sure hope so. I mean, he looked really, really good in his debut, and it made a lot of people wonder what took so long. And I asked him that too yesterday, and he was basically saying, you know, listen, I'm you know, I just, you know, put in my best work I can. And I, you know, he said he hadn't really felt any frustration about it because he's still taking all the mental reps and was just kind of waiting for his moment. And clearly he was excited. I actually posted a little video of him in the pregame warm-up. Like, you could just tell there's like guys are excited always before a game, but you could just kind of see he was feeling different, you know, going into
the
first game.
Yeah, he was going to play.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you know, unleashing the dog, you know, after he's been, you know, pulling on it for so long. So that was great to see, and I do think that we will see more of him. But the Falcons' rush defense unit has got to get better. They've been, you know, basically in the bottom 10 in the NFL on a per play and total basis. So they've got to get that fixed, because if they don't, that makes it so much easier on these quarterbacks to convert on third downs. So they're staying ahead of the yardage marker. So they've got to be able to create more kind of negative or short yardage plays in the run game to allow that pass rush to also really get unleashed.
Smoke and Joe Patrick joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, as he always does on Thursdays at this time, to talk Falcons. One of the things that has been said about this group so far is that things just kind of feel different in a variety of different ways. They've won a couple games that maybe they wouldn't have won in years past, and that's true. I agree with that. One thing that teams in years past, though, have done is maybe win a game and look good and then follow it up by not looking great. Or maybe have an opponent that's inferior and I don't know if they take them lightly or play to their level or whatever. What makes you feel like this group is not that? Like they're not going to overlook the Panthers and go into this game and really, you know, I mean, you can handle your business against the Panthers. Everybody that's beat them has beat them by double digits. What makes you sure that this group is that?
Well, I don't want to assume that they're going to do it, but I do think I expect them to win. And by the way, guys, this will be if they beat the Panthers on Sunday, this will be the first time they've won three games in a row since 2019. There's only five players on this roster that were on the roster back then. It's three of the offensive linemen and Young Waiku and Grady Jarrett, and that is it. So
me and Randy have created three children since then.
Yes.
Since the last time they won. Yeah. Not together, but you know what I mean.
Happened. Yeah. Between the two of us,
we've created three humans.
All right. There's been a pandemic that's happened since the last time the Falcons won three games in a row. So it's going to be really important. You know, it's kind
bad.
Of a huge marker for
it's
them.
Been bad right
it's been bad.
Just been yeah. It's been that bad, Ryan.
Really bad.
But I think that where the confidence comes from is in the quarterback, that you're getting a level of consistent play from week to week that this team just hasn't really had for the last couple years. And then obviously before that, you did have Matt Ryan, but you had a defense that was in total shambles and was really letting the team down. So I think that you just have that confidence offensively that you're going to get what you need. And you've got a veteran-laden defense that has shown that they can, you know, create turnovers. And obviously we have not seen the best of what this defense can possibly be. But I think that confidence just stems from the quarterback. And when you talk to the players around the locker room, they always kind of reference Kirk at some point. That's one of some of the reasons for their success so far.
JP, do you see them possibly, and I mean, because we know how they want to play. They don't want to give up the big play. We talked about it with you last week, Arch, everybody, about how Atlanta, you know, they're giving up the intermediate. That's why they can't get sacks and all those other different things, whatever. But do you see it more this week that one of those safeties has to be in the box a lot more than any time of this year?
You would think so. I mean, I'm no, like, tactics football tactics kind of guy, but you would think that with an offense like the Panthers have that is, you know, is pretty one-dimensional, especially when you look at Andy Dalton. He obviously kind of came in and increased their offensive production immediately off the bat, but you've seen him kind of steadily go down as teams have gotten more film on what they're doing, and I think that he is still pretty limited in the passing game by, you know, NFL quarterback standards go. And so, but Chuba Hubbard, to go back to him, he's been one of the better running backs in the NFL, like really like a top five back in terms of his production per play. So you would think that they're going to want to, you know, roll up one of those safeties down to the box and have more of a physical presence up there. And again, if they can do that, then they're going to put themselves in better situations against the pass as well, because the Panthers will be more predictable. So I would expect that. And then the other thing that's nice about this Falcons rush defense is that you've got a guy like Jesse Bates who can literally has the potential to cause a fumble on any given play. And just watching him over the last year and a half, like, I don't think I've ever seen a player that's quite as good at punching that ball out as he is. And you see it around the league, you know, it's definitely something that these guys are working on, a technique to, you know, that peanut punch or whatever it's called. But, you know, I don't know if there's anybody who's more accurate than Jesse Bates. Maybe he needs to get into boxing or something because he's got an accurate right hand.
Nah, we'll keep him. We want him to stay at safety. He's playing really, really good.
True. Good
hey, let me get a little ahead of myself on something, and maybe they can make this not a question by actually sacking the quarterback over the next couple of games, get a lead, maybe that'll help or whatever. But do you think, I know the trade deadline's less than a month away, do you think that they would consider trying to add another pass rusher before the deadline?
I think they would consider it. I don't think that they will go after Hassan Reddick, who is the big name.
Yeah, you knew where we were going.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the one. I've got friends who are asking me, too. And who knows? I could be very wrong about this. It wouldn't be the first time, for sure. But the fact that they've already kind of got one guy in that same exact situation as Matthew Judon, where he's on the last year of his deal, and kind of Reddick is younger than Judon, but could you even get Reddick in on his current deal? Like, would he play or demand a new contract?
Yeah, probably not. Contract. Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's really the hang up for me. I don't think the Falcons are willing to do that kind of deal for a player who's going to demand that contract because they want to know who that player is. You know, they want to see him in the building. They want to see how he works with the other teammates and coaches. And so I don't think that that's something the Falcons go for, but I do think that they could potentially go for somebody else who might be a little bit more affordable and just more plug and play where you can help around the fringes. But regardless, guys, like, these guys just have to get better as who they are. Like, I don't, even if it is Hassan Reddick, I don't think that he alone is necessarily fixing the pass rush. And I think that a lot of people thought that that was going to be like what Matthew Judon was going to come in here and do. And I still think Matthew Judon is a good player and can get after the quarterback and certainly get his production this year. It's just this whole defense has got to improve again in those different areas that give them more obvious pass rushing situations and allow them to get to the quarterback. And it will help going against the guy and Andy Dalton, who's not going to run around like a lot of mobile quarterbacks they've faced so far this season.
He's sackable.
We said it earlier.
Andy's sackable.
Yeah.
Joe, thank you.
Appreciate it, JP.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.